I'm using the Contemporary English Version Bible. I like it because I don't know if you do a lot of work with different versions of the Bible. Quite a few years ago, a version came out called The Message, pardon me, which is quite fun, but really earthy and uncomfortable in some of its language for me, anyways. I have discovered the Contemporary English Version, which is as earthy and has contemporary language in it, but it's not like weird. I found The Message weird. Okay, so this is not like weird. It comes from Isaiah chapter 40. The Lord gives strength to those who are weary. Even young people get tired and then stumble and fall. But those who trust the Lord will find new strength. They will be strong like eagles, soaring up on wings. They will walk and run without getting tired. May God bless these words to our understanding. Thanks be to God. Okay, first, I got to tell you this. I know that's not an eagle, okay? Take a look at it. I know it's not an eagle. The point of that picture is going to be made very abundantly clear to you in a few minutes. You know, if you know me, I love birds. I love birds. Year round, but particularly in the summertime, it's really fun to see what kind of birds are around. Any kindred spirits out here? Bird people? You can hardly even see your feathers under your coat. Right? You know, your bird people, yeah, I love the birds. Chickadees tend to stick around all year long, but have you noticed the blackbirds are mostly gone? They did their thing, and they're gone from behind, there's a pond behind where we live. In the springtime, the colors of the birds are so vivid, and it's fun to see what is going to, you know, you might see a yellow warbler, or something like that. They're great fun. I have downloaded an app called Merlin. Anybody found that yet? Oh yeah, Merlin is awesome. If you're going for a walk and you hear something, you go, I don't know if you're not like me, like, oh, cheepy, cheepy, cheep, I wonder what that is. If you let Merlin listen to it, it'll tell you what it is. Or if you actually get a picture of it, Merlin can tell you what kind of a bird that was. So it's so fun. It's almost always right, sometimes wrong, like dead wrong, but sometimes really right, and it's great, great fun. It's so fun to hear the little wrens. Little wrens are like little tiny thing, but they got a big voice. And if you get down to the water early enough, you'll see belted kingfishers. And we saw an eastern kingbird the other day. Oh, it's just fun. I love them. But it's no wonder, because of birds and the way birds are, that they become more than themselves in our imaginations. Chickadees are said to bring messages from the other side. Same with nuthatches, bringing messages from the other side. Ravens have a reputation for a kind of ominous darkness, something I will dispute in 2 weeks' time. Mark it on your calendars. I read a book called Consider the Birds by Debbie Blue. She's a minister and a birder. And even if you're not like a birder with your cargo pants and the big binoculars, you can still enjoy birds. But here's what Debbie Blue says. As long as humans have been breathing, they've been investing birds with meaning. They are not just bones and feathers. They are strength or hope, omen or oracle. The spirit has wings. In fact, the Bible is full of bird imagery. Some are images for God, and some of the birds are mentioned as part of stories, you know, like the dove from Noah's Ark, or the quails in the Exodus story. Remember how the Israelites were like, we're hungry, all we eat every day is manna, 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 and so God sends them quails. And there's that. And on some of the things, the way the birds are mentioned is that they're mentioned as either things to like or dislike, to eat or not eat. Like, apparently it's a bad thing to eat a pelican in the Bible. So in case you were going to go home to a pelican dinner, the Bible says don't do that. Back in my youth group days, we used to sing a song based on Isaiah 40:31. Maybe you, in your youth group days, know it too. It goes like this. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. That's that verse that we just read. Beautiful. This thing about the eagles. Eagles turn up in quite a few places in the Bible. Eagles, in Debbie Blue's book, she points out that they have their own kind of symbology. Eagles are said to be fierce hunters. And some people have been lucky enough to see them dive into the water with their claws and pick up a fish and carry it away. Although, I've also seen eagles at the dump. The eagle was the symbol of the Roman Empire and the symbol of the United States of America. I have this little quote from the Department of Veterans Affairs in the United States. The fierce beauty and proud independence of this great bird aptly symbolizes the strength and freedom of America. And then I remembered this poster from my youth. That was a long time ago, but there was this poster of an eagle, like a shoulder shot of an eagle. And you know, if you look at an eagle face on, it's kind of got this thing. It's looking like that, and the poster says, I am smiling. That's the eagle. Okay, so what if I told you something? That when we read the word eagle, usually in our Bible, it's been translated from Hebrew, in Isaiah's case, from Hebrew, the word nesher. And the word nesher is actually vulture. Vulture. That is a turkey vulture, but it was probably a griffin vulture, which is every bit as beautiful as that bird right there. Nesher, a griffin vulture, a huge bird with a wingspan of about 8 feet. Our little tiny turkey vultures here in Canada are only 5.5 to 6 feet in their wingspan. But oh, wow, that just changed my point of view. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as vultures. Or from Deuteronomy, like a vulture that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them and bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone did lead him. Like a vulture. Yikes! I can imagine that when the translators of the Hebrew Bible came across this word nesher and said, they said something like, yuck, that can't be an image for God. Let's change that to eagle. A vulture is a bird that, although it is not responsible for killing, it eats dead things. It defecates on its legs. And most of them are not beautiful to our eyes. They don't have feathers on their heads. That so when they're feeding on a carcass, they could put their heads right in there and not come up with goo and ick all over their feathers. So they don't have feathers there. And if you were like me, I grew up watching spaghetti westerns on TV. I don't know. That's going to date me a little bit anyway. And you could see they'd be looking in this black and white movie, and over there you'd see some vultures circling. You knew something bad had happened. Something's dead over there. Oh, and then there was this is all the things I'm thinking of. And these cartoons, you know, the cartoons of the two vultures that are sitting on a branch, and they both look like this. With a big, and they're looking down at some poor soul who is crawling across a desert to get a drink of water or something like that. This is what I'm thinking of when I'm going vultures. And then, apparently, in biblical times, if you wanted to really curse somebody, if you wanted to say something really bad, you would say, "Thy carcass shall be meat." Ew. And yet, it is amazing how vultures fly. They hardly flap at all. They rise using thermals, the heating of the sun to warm up the air, and they rise and they just a little flap, a little zig, a little flap to great heights. We're likely to have seen, if you've seen vultures in and around here or in Canada at all, they're probably a turkey vultures, 5.5 to 6 feet wingspan, and yet when you actually see them, they look about this big. They must be so high in the air. It's actually a very, very peaceful sight. The picture of patience. Just imagine what you can see from up there. I read that in 1973, a jetliner collided with the griffon vulture over Africa at 37,000 feet. Now, they don't usually collide with things, thank goodness. But as Debbie Blue says in her book, the way of the vulture in the sky is more Buddha than Thor. I might like that in a god. Turns out that the vultures of antiquity were not viewed with the revulsion that we might have for them today. The Talmud mentions an Arabian deity called Nezra, who was a vulture god. A vulture god was also worshipped by the Assyrians. The ancient Egyptians saw vultures as Nekhbet, who was the mother of all mothers who existed before anything else. The ancient Egyptians thought that vultures were only female because their plumage is the same, male and female. And so they believed that females just kept reproducing on their own by breathing in wind, kind of reminiscent of Mary and the Holy Spirit, the first virgin birth from these vultures. Vultures were called by the ancient Mayans, death eaters. Death eaters. Because vultures clean things up. Remember when I said they defecate on their legs? It's with sterile uric acid. That's what bird poop is. It's uric acid. And it's sterile when it exits their bodies, and so they're decontaminating their legs. So that when they fly to another place, they're not taking any infection from one place to another. Their bodies are decontaminators. They are, in fact, living purifiers. So I started thinking, our modern day revulsion for things like vultures and the ancient respect for the very same thing had me wondering how many times we read stuff in the Bible or make some decisions about what the original intent was might actually be putting us off. So here are some ideas I was thinking about. If we imagine God not as eagle, but as vulture, what if we could question our collective image of God as a fierce hunter and instead see her as an entity that rises gently on the winds that are created by sunlight and nature? What if we, nestled in her wings, can aspire to see things as she does, with a view that can also even see the curvature of the earth? What if, from up there, we don't aspire to conquer anything, but to search for places where death is so that we may address it? What if we were to imagine God as one who consumes death and cleanses it and purifies it and brings health to the world? What if we learn not to fear death physically and spiritually, but to encounter it and transform it? What if we were to let go of cultural images of beauty and look for the holy in places that we don't initially find beautiful? What if God is not stately or magnificent, but instead has a less comely face and can actually be found in the scary places? This is certainly the ministry of Jesus, who ended up amongst the ordinary folk. And he looked at those who were sick and tired and grieving and hurting and broke. And he said to them, "The kingdom of God is among you." Among you. And I wonder if we too can sit with all that are ill or grieving or addicted or sleeping rough and say, "I see the holy in you, in you." And I wonder if we, the imperfect, the too skinny or the too fat or the unlovely or the too old or the too young, could look into the mirror and say, "You are made in the image of God and you are beautiful. You are beautiful." The questioning of metaphors about God and ourselves can lead to new perspectives. I believe that. I wonder how many other times we can poke at an image and find out something new. I just wonder. So let's have the courage to do that. As you see, I have more questions than answers. I think that's okay. I want to conclude with a poem by Margaret Atwood. You know, like Margaret Atwood? She and her late husband, her fellow writer, Graham Gibson, were and are ardent bird watchers. She wrote a poem about the vulture. I'll read it for you. "Frowsy old saint, bald-headed and musty, scrawny-necked recluse on your pillar of blazing air, which is not heaven. What do you make of death, which you do not cause, which you eat daily?" "I make life, which is a prayer. I make clean bones. I make gray zinc noise, which to me is song. Well, heart, out of all of this carnage, could you do better? Thanks be to God. Amen."